In this week's Parsha, Parshas Chukas, we have a whole series of wars that are happening towards the end of the time that Bnei Yisrael are in the Midbar, just before they're going to enter Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu, of course, is still with them, and they're going to be fighting Sichon and Og. After the war with Sichon Melech HaAmori, Og Melech HaBashan comes out to meet them, he and his whole army, and Hashem says to Moshe, Pasuk says, Al tira isai, don't be afraid of him, ki biyadcha nasati isai, because I've given him in your hand, ves kolomai, and also all his nation, ves artsai, and his land, vasisi loi, kasher asisa l'sichon melech Amori, asher yoshev b'cheshbon. In the same way you destroyed Sichon, the king of the Amori, who lived in Cheshbon, it says that Cheshbon, the city of Sichon, was such a powerful city that even if the city had been full of mosquitoes, the Midrash says, had the city been full of mosquitoes, it would have been impossible to conquer. And Sichon and his people, even without a fortified city, should have been impossible to conquer. And yet Hashem says, I've given you Sichon, and I've given you the city of Cheshbon. I'm going to give you also the same way I'm going to put Og in your hand. You don't have to be scared. Now, we know from Chazal that Og was a tremendous giant. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu, whatever it means, meaning it's not necessarily meant to be taken literally, that these are the heights, it's just giving us an idea of how big they were. Moshe Rabbeinu was 10 amas high. He had a stick that was 10 amas high. He jumped for 10 amas, meaning he had the ability to reach 30 amas high, and yet all he was able to reach up to was Og's ankle. So Og was definitely a formidable enemy. However, it still seems surprising to be able to say that Moshe was scared of Og. This, we're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu, who just has witnessed a tremendous amount of Nisim throughout the entire period of time. He was Moshe Rabbeinu. He had been up in Shemayim. He knew more than anybody the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he had just seen the defeat of Sichon in this big city of Cheshbon. So what possible reason would he have for fearing Og to the extent that Hashem has to tell him, don't be scared of him? Meaning that when a person says don't be scared, it means that there is fear there. So what exactly was Moshe Rabbeinu scared of? So to give us an answer, we have to go back to who this Og Melech HaBashan was, and we have met Og before. Now, the Maharal has a yisoid that we're not always necessarily talking about exactly the same people, meaning that it could have been a descendant of the original Og, who was the, or it could actually have been the real Og, the original Og, who was Og, who had, is called the Polit. He's called the Polit because he escapes. He escaped from the Mabul by hanging on to the Teva, and he escaped from the war of the four kings and five kings to run and tell Avram Avinu that Lot had been taken captive. And because of this, Avram goes to war, and he actually does save Lot. And because of this, he's going to get a reward. And the reward is going to be possibly a very, very, very long life, and certainly a tremendous amount of strength, and the ability to be a ruler that everybody is scared of. And so Moshe could have been scared of him too. Now, he wasn't scared of him because of his physical strength, but he was scared that Og had a schus. And the schus was that he had saved Lot's life. He had come to tell Avram Avinu that Lot was being held captive. But to understand this a little bit more deeply, we have to go back and think, well, why did Og come to tell Avram about Lot? And the answer that Chazal give us is that Og definitely had exterior motives here. He wanted to marry Sarah. And in order to marry Sarah, he figured, I'm going to send Avram to war. There's no way Avram's going to be successful. He's going to be killed in this battle, and then I'm going to be able to marry Sarah. So then the question becomes stronger. Moshe is scared of Og's. He's scared of Og's little mitzvah that he did. We can't even call it a mitzvah. Maybe there was a tiny bit of good that came out of it, but the intentions were definitely not good. And Og gets so much schar already for doing this tiny little mitzvah. What is Moshe Rabbeinu scared of? And then we could say, okay, let's even say that the schar of the mitzvah is so great that he has what to be scared of. But certainly Moshe Rabbeinu has done mitzvahs in his life. And not only that, he's representing a Klal Yisrael, which has been doing mitzvahs for many, many years in the Midbar. So certainly there's enough schus to counteract that tiny minuscule bit of schar that Oik would seem to have from, you know, with terribly ulterior motives saving Light's life. What is exactly is he scared of? And then we have to go back to the very important concept of schar mitzvah b'hai alma leika, which means that there is no schar mitzvah for a mitzvah in this world, which means that the currency with which we will be paid the schar for doing a mitzvah in the next world is, it doesn't work in this world. It's way too much. It would be like going to somebody and saying, I want to buy your car. And the person lists a price for the car. Yes, you can buy my car secondhand, $12,000. And the person will say, well, how about if I buy it with monopoly money? How about if I give you $120,000? Instead of $12,000, I'll give you $120,000 of monopoly money. The answer is, monopoly money doesn't work to buy a car. How about $1 million of monopoly money? However much monopoly money you're going to give me, it doesn't work to buy a car. A car you have to buy with real money. There's no way to translate the spiritual schar in the next world to our very physical world that we have down here. Another way to understand it would be if a person would walk into a grocery store with a $1 million check and say to the man, I'd like to buy a stick of gum, please, with this $1 million check, can you give me the change? And the answer is, no, I can't give you change for $1 million for your stick of gum. I don't have that kind of money here. It doesn't work in the grocery store. In a grocery store, you could come in with a $100 bill maximum, and we can give you change for that. But we can't give you change for a $1 million check. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't give us reward in this finite world, because the reward for our mitzvah is infinite. And in our finite world, we just don't have the currency to pay for a mitzvah in this world. Except when HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to meet up with the people in the next world. For example, Oig did a sliver of a mitzvah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to make sure that he is taken care of here in this world. So he gives him schar for this tiny little mitzvah. And how much schar does he get for doing this very, very minuscule good deed? He gets the schar that, again, according to some, he's living for hundreds of years. He's the king of a kingdom. And Moshe Rabbeinu is legitimately scared because this tiny little mitzvah that he did could really still stand by him, stand for him, and even make him victorious over Bnei Yisrael, who can't get their schar for the mitzvahs that they're doing in this world, because it would be way too much. I think this idea has to give us a tremendous amount of pause for thought, because I think we really, really don't understand how much our mitzvahs are worth. And we think that, okay, so I did a chesed, maybe I meant it, maybe I didn't, I made a bracha, I know I didn't have proper kavanah for that bracha. And we have to recognize and realize the tremendous schar that we actually get for doing these mitzvahs. If we look at what Oig was repaid, how much more so will we be repaid? As I've mentioned before, I run a camp in Moscow in Russia, which I've been doing for 25 years now. And going back many, many years ago, right at the beginning of my going, there was one summer that it was very difficult for me to go, and it was very difficult. The technical aspects of the camp were difficult, and also I wasn't quite sure what we were actually accomplishing there. After all, many of the campers would disappear after one summer. We would never see them again, and it was a question in my mind, what am I really doing? Am I really accomplishing? Baruch Hashem, I don't have this question anymore. We have seen tremendous paras, both from the camp and even more so from the tremendous work that's being done by those who live in Moscow year-round. But at that point, I was really wondering if this is a worthwhile place to invest my koiches. And at that time, I called Rabbi Shmuel Dishon Shlita, and I asked him whether this was a worthwhile endeavor for me. And he responded by asking me some interesting questions. He said, do the girls eat kosher food when they're in camp? And I said, of course, we only give them kosher food. And he said, well, do they make brachas on that food? And I said, yeah, of course, we focus on that. We teach them to make brachas. We daven with them. And he thundered back at me and he says, do you understand the value of a mitzvah? Do you know what a mitzvah means? You wouldn't be asking me this question if you truly understood the power and the value of one mitzvah. What does it mean to a Yiddish neshama to have kosher food for 3 weeks, even if she never eats kosher again, even if the worst happens and she goes off and she intermarries? Her neshama had kosher food for 3 weeks. Do you know what that means? So I hold that in mind, and I tell it to my counselors as well every year, that the mitzvahs that to us seem to be minor mitzvahs or done improperly or done for just a short amount of time, if we truly understood the koyach and the power and the magnitude of every one mitzvah that we do, even if it's not done 1,000% the way it's meant to, even if it's done a little bit incorrectly, even if we have ulterior motives, even if we're not doing it in the right way, what is the power of a mitzvah that Oig Melech HaBashan, for his little sliver of a mitzvah, gets so much schar that Moshe Rabbeinu is scared of him? We have to realize and recognize the power of our mitzvahs, the ones that we do ourselves, the ones that we are mezaka others to do as well.